Good morning, welcome to Sunday morning worship service. Take your songbooks from number 682. 682. Brother Andrew will be leading our singing here in just a few moments. Good to have everyone here, our guests, your honored guests. Glad you are here. Hope you find everything and anything that we do here stand according to God's word. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. I don't have any of the members that are on the sick list, so that's good. We have several that are out of town. The Wiggingtons, they are out of town. The Keach family and the Collins family. And Courtney says she is leaving this evening and going out of town and be back Thursday, so we want to remember them. Wednesday invitation will be by Brother Warren Wright. I know of no meetings in the area. We'll meet again this evening at 4:00 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study at 7:00 p.m. And this coming Wednesday, we will meet at the Wrights' house for Bible study. Correct? Order of service this morning, opening prayer be by Brother Mark Kaysen, communion by Brother Warren Wright. TJ will assist on that. Song leader, of course, Brother Andrew. Chuck will bring us our lesson, and then Dan Latini has closing prayer. July the 7th, we start our new teachers and our new program. The material is on the table here, so if you're in line for teaching the next quarter, be sure and get your class material. We also remember Pam Bays and Mitchell Gate at Northwest. They are been having some health issues, and Pam's been going through a lot of testing for cancer to see how they're going to test her and treat her for cancer treatment. So we'll remember them as well. If there's anything that I failed to mention or bring up, please bring it, let me know, and I'll bring it up tonight. This evening's worship service.
First song is number 682. When looking at this list, it may seem like all the numbers are kind of come back. I actually had other songs and decided to not to choose those. But all these are very purposeful. Number 682, to God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life and atonement for sin. And opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Number 68. After this will be led in prayer, number 68. God sent his Son,
they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Father, of others who are staring at serious illness. And we pray that your mercy might be upon him, your healing hand might be upon him, Lord. For man is limited in his ability, but you are unlimited. You know that if it be your will, we can make these things well. We lay our petition at your feet and we do these things. Father, we are also mindful of our children. We're also mindful of the world that they are surrounded and immersed by that is filled with sin and clever, Satan's clever devices to try to lead them astray. We pray, Father, that we will live in such a way before them and teach them things of truth. They might understand the temporal nature of this life, when it is temporary. And it is a tragic thing when people trade this for eternal life. We pray, Father, for ourselves as well, that we might be wise enough to realize not to make that trade. That what you have promised to your children is beyond description. We have to see it through the eye of faith, and someday we will see it. And we're so grateful for that one alone. We ask that you be with the elders of this congregation, that you bless them, give them wisdom in the decisions that are made, that the church here in Newburgh will continue to grow and to flourish, and that we as members will gain the strength to be more useful to you in the days to come than we have been in the past. We ask you now to look down upon us in tender mercy. Please forgive us when we have failed you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' most holy name.
Amen.
Before I partake in the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 645. Number 645.
On a hill far away, certain old rugged cross, the emblem of supreme and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to you. pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish
Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on till the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." In our Bible class this morning, we had a lengthy discussion about the Lord's Supper and the significance it means to us as Christians who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And this is part of that, what he requires of us, requests of us to do, faithful Christians, in observance of his death. So we take of this even more of that. If you would pray with me. Our God and Father who art in heaven, we pray that your blessing be upon this bread, which to us as Christians is a communion with our large body that he sacrificed on the cross for our sins. Our prayer is that those who partake of this morning that do so in a manner, Lord, that's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Now we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing, Lord, will be upon this fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians is communion with our Lord and Savior's blood that he sacrificed on that cross for our sins. Our prayer is, Lord, that each and every one who partakes will do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable unto you. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
This concludes the part of our worship service. We reserve the table. Now we who are members here at River Ridge have an opportunity to give of our means for the work that's being done here at this place. If you're visiting with us this morning, we have no means soliciting money from you. You're welcome to give if you wish, but responsibility remains for us, for the members here at River Ridge. Let us pray. Our God and Father, is so thankful for this day, Lord, that you've given us. Thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. Thankful to have the opportunity to take a portion and set aside, Lord, that we can do for your work at this place. And we pray that as we do this, Lord, that we do this with our hearts in the right place. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Thank you.
If you'd like to mark in your song books at this time, number 755 would be the song of the invitation after Brother Chuck's lesson, sermon this morning. Number 755. Now, if you turn there, please turn over to 660, number 660. There is a habitation.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who sings that grand of old. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see.
Going to clean it all out of here and do the floor. So I'll find out what he would like for us to do following services tonight before we leave here. So anyway, we'll keep you posted. All right. There are all kinds of people in this world spiritually. There are those who are, well, far from the Lord. We've been reading about that recently over Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. You draw near unto me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So we know there are people who are, they're just far from the Lord. And then there are people that are just not even interested in them. Those people are playing the hypocrites. But there are people out there who are not hypocrites. They don't care about the Lord. They're just far away from him. And then you have people like those in Luke 22 and verse 54. We remember the story of Peter who followed, but from afar. He wasn't really, at that point, ready to turn his back completely on the Lord. He was following Jesus, but it says from a distance. And so you find people that are, you know, in that in-between state. They need to be near to the Lord is what they need to be. And Peter realized his mistake, and he wept for it. But we're going to read about a chap over here in Mark, the 12th chapter. I'm going to pick it up in verse 28. So let's follow along. It's rather interesting. It's found in this text, an interesting phrase. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I like that phrase. That's what jumped out at me this week. You're not far from the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we all know about they were preaching about the coming of his kingdom, the coming of his body, his spiritual body, the church. People could follow him even then. But remember, he purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. The church, the kingdom, you were used synonymously. You see that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to build my church. Then he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I thought you were talking about the church I am. It's that spiritual body. And so he says, you're not far. Well, we talked about those people who are far, those people who are somewhere in between, those people who are not far, right? Right close. We need to be near to the Lord. And we'll be closing out with some interesting passages. You know, I had it written down, Andrew, and it's my, I can't believe I did that. I just get caught up in other things. And I even said, you know, lead that song nearer to God. But I actually like your invitation song too, so that's going to work out fine. But that's what we're going to be closing up with that thought of drawing near to the Lord. Okay, my question that we're going to deal with today is, what does it take to not be far from the kingdom? I mean, that's quite a statement there to make of this man, just because of his remarks. And the Lord praised him. Well, we're going to look at four quick things this morning. And one of the things that we noticed right off the bat is he was a person that was willing to listen to Jesus. Now, we find that earlier in this chapter. Let's back up in verse 18. We're in Mark 12. Listen to this. Some Sadducees who came, and some Sadducees who say there's no resurrection came to him, and they asked him, saying, teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. The second took her, and he died, and he, nor did he leave any offspring, and the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as his wife. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. That's when we read verse 28. See, 28 jumps out at us now in the context. Because verse 28 says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well." You pay attention. Well, you got to love a student who pays attention. You ever have a student that doesn't pay attention? Hey, you teachers who teach over there. Do you ever have a student not pay attention? Do you ever have to tell him, pay attention? Okay? That happened. Now this guy. I mean, Jesus says, you're greatly mistaken. Well, who's great? Those people who weren't listening. What? When you're reading in the past, you're familiar with these scriptures. You're asking me a question. You're religious people. You don't believe in the resurrection. Don't you remember what you read back here? God says he's the God of the living, not of the dead. Oh, yeah. So you're greatly mistaken. You want to throw a curve at me to talk about a woman who's married to seven men, and then yet comes the judgment day, and of course in heaven. Well, who's going to be, you know, the husband? Which one? No marriage in heaven. Sorry. Parents, I mean, couple. It's just not going to be like that in heaven. We won't care. All right? But here's a person who listens to the Lord. You want to be a person that's not far from the kingdom, the person who's going to be in the kingdom, the person who's a follower of the Lord. It's going to take somebody who's going to listen to the Lord. I always remember when I was in Danville for a couple of years. I had a teacher of the Word. He's one of the elders there in Danville. He has since passed away, a long time ago he's passed away. But his name is Kelly Ellis. And we loved listening to Kelly. I mean, he was a school teacher. I think he was even a principal at one time. But no, they say in a one-room school, like old country preacher, but smart. I mean, what a smart guy. But we would sit there, students, when our jaw would hit the floor. It's like every time he opened his mouth, three-point sermon, another sermon, another sermon, another sermon. Because we're always going out on weekends and preaching. It's like, what was that last one? You know, like it just flowed out of him. We just loved listening to him. He's just a man. But I tell you, people that listen to the Lord, those people, you can say to them, "Boy, he's not far." You ever talk to somebody that's interested in spiritual things, man? Their zeal, their desire, their hunger. You know, I'll just say they're not far. I remember telling Debbie that someday. I'll come back from a class and I'll say, "Man, that person is hungry for the truth." You just know that. And here's a person. Is it you? Is it me? Are we the type of people that say, "I want to listen to the Lord"? You know, in Matthew chapter 17, you can read about the Mount of Transfiguration 1 through 5 there. Remember that voice that came up from heaven? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Remember what it said? "Hear ye him." Listen to him. Guys, if we're going to make it to heaven, if you want to be close to the Lord, then you have to listen to him. He's not far from the kingdom because you know what? He's listening. He's listening. You love that. And that's why Jesus is far more in John 14:6 than just being the way. And then being the life, it said he is the truth. You need to be listening. We seek truth. We want truth. Hopefully that's the way it is. And that's what I love about every one of those seven letters to the churches of Asia that you can read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Every one of them. I know five of them were condemned for doing some things that were wrong, and two of them weren't condemned for anything. They were just praised and were exhorted to keep it up. But all seven of them, you can read. It says, "He that has an ear, let him hear." The Lord said that. He that has an ear, let him hear. Listen to what I have to say. And that's what we pride ourselves in here. We get our Bibles and we're not man followers, but we want to listen to the Lord. We respect authority, and that's what's going to help us. Are you a good listener? Are you a listener of the Lord? Because I tell you, if you're a listener of the Lord, it's going to be said of you. But there was more than just that in this Mark chapter 12 passage. What else do we learn? Well, he is one that is searching with a sincere heart. Now, does that describe you? Because if that describes you, you're not far. You could be even part of the family. This man was searching, and I like the fact that he was asking questions and he learned. How do I know that? Well, After Jesus spoke to him in verse 30 and 31, the scribe said to him, "Well said." Well, what are you talking about? Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, and of course in Leviticus 19 and 18, is what you have here of loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And secondly, in verse 31, love your neighbor as yourself. It was from the Old Testament. See, here's a guy who was familiar with it. So that was our first point. So he's still listening. He's familiar with the Word of God. But we also see this man that he is learning. And that's why he's saying, Lord, well, that's well said. He's paying attention to the Lord, and he's listening, and he's learning. You see, I find here in Mark chapter 12, as I mentioned a moment ago in verse 27, remember what the Lord said? He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. He says, "You are therefore greatly mistaken." This man was asking a question from the Lord, and he wanted to learn. Now, sometimes people ask questions, and they don't want to learn. Now, the fact that this man was listen to his question, because he said, "Well said," twice. He not only said it in verse 28, but he also mentioned it back down here in verse 32. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher." Twice now, from the first exhortation about that woman and marrying seven times, and then answering this other question, what's the greatest commandment? He's paying attention, he's learning, but he asked a question in this second part. He wanted to learn. Sometimes people ask questions they don't want to learn. I know that. I have people call up all the time. And then some people call up, like they seem like they have a really a sincere desire of wanting to learn the truth. I've been sharing with you the last couple of weeks, and I just sent a bunch of information to this couple. But man, when you have a couple that puts you on speakerphone, I didn't know I was on speakerphone. I just thought I was talking to Ernie. Mm-hmm. Ernie just says, "Chuck, I've got some questions for you. Watching the TV program. We've got talking." And all of a sudden this lady speaks up, "Well, Chuck, what about this? I'm Lois." I went, "Oh, I didn't know you were on there, Lois." And so Lois has got a bunch of questions too. I mean, and they're just firing questions left and right. And I'm thinking, you guys, you got it right. You got it right. You're listening and you're learning. And you hear them say, "Well, I thought that's the way it was. But, you know, where we were going, that's what they were teaching." And they're listening and they're learning. That's the kind of people that are not far. You would hope if they continue on with it, if you want to listen to the Lord and you have a desire to learn. Because some people listen. Say, "I want to go listen." Never learn. Some people never come to that knowledge. Ever learning, but never coming to that knowledge. Just going through the motions. And we don't want to be that kind of people. And that's what you have. That's the danger over there in Romans. I'm going to come back to Mark chapter 12. But over there in Romans chapter 10 that we make reference to. He says these people have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so we're not talking about just having a sincere heart. These people wanted to listen to the Lord. They had sincerity, but they had the desire to learn. Have we stopped learning? You guys, have you ever said that expression? "You can't teach an old dog new tricks, dear. Don't expect me to change." You know, we're never too old to change. We can always be learning. I don't care how old we are in the faith. We all need to be learning. I know it can be said of myself. Well, that's not it. You know what really stands out to me? What I really like about this guy, where Jesus said, "What, this guy's not far from the kingdom," is because he's making the personal application to the things that he learned. How do I know that? This phrase is powerful. The Lord answers his question, and he just doesn't repeat it back. You know how sometimes people repeat things back to you, like, "Well, that's just what you said." Now, sometimes people tell me what I want them to say. I don't want them to, you know, say what I want them to say. I want you to say what you've learned. Just don't be a mimic of me. This person is not that kind of person. How do I know that? Listen to this. He repeats back to the Lord in verse 33, because, yeah, there is only one God, and we're to love him with all our heart, with all our understanding, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then he adds this, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. I get it, is what he's saying. It's that stuff, is more important than all the burnt sacrifice. Oh, wait a second. Is he saying that those sacrifices are not important? No. See, this is where it really gets down to the meat of the lesson today. If you don't remember anything else, remember point number three. Of course, remember, listen to the Lord. Have the desire to learn. But here, make the personal application. Because there have been many times where people hear lessons and they don't make a personal application. And I have been in places, I've worshipped places, and I'm sitting there and people walk out the door and say, good lesson. They really needed it. You needed that. They really needed it. You know, it's easy to sit in an audience, and I've done it. I've done it where I'm sitting there thinking about visitors. Listen. You pay attention. You learn. It's easy not to make personal application. This man is thinking it through and understands about his attitude. All those sacrifices that were out there, this is more important. I didn't say that those things are not necessary, of course. But that's what the Lord said. Remember what Jesus said in verse 34? And when Jesus saw he answered him, when Jesus saw that he answered him wisely, wait a second. How in the world can any of us answer anything wisely without knowledge? Can you have wisdom without knowledge? No. Because, you see, you need knowledge to have wisdom. Because wisdom is using knowledge properly. Okay? And so you can't be a wise person without having that knowledge. And so this person answered wisely because he had the knowledge. And that's why it's important for us to take those other things into consideration, those first two points. Of course, you could have knowledge without wisdom, of course. You can't have wisdom without knowledge, but you can have knowledge without wisdom. And that's why we're here praying for. You can have four different reactions to the Lord's words. Number one, you could be pricked in the heart to want to do what's right. We see an example of that in Acts 2, verse 38. They were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, hearing the word of God can do that. You can make that personal application and respond to it or take the challenge. Say, man, I didn't look at it that way. Or I'm going to try to do better in this area. We're always trying to better ourselves. That's a reaction that we can get from studying God's word, listening to our Lord. Secondly, we can be pricked, but we can keep our distance. Go to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I'll make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends and to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who is a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call upon you. Now, there's other factors, and you can read it in the next couple of verses, that he was kind of hoping to get a bribe from Paul. But at this point in time, I'm going to send you away. The message was affecting him. And I'll tell you what, guys. It doesn't mean that you're near the Lord by being even here. But we're learning what it means to be near the Lord. You need to hear the message, of course. And you need to be a learner. But you need to make personal application. And a person who is pricked, a person can be pricked and keep their distance. How? If the Word of God is getting to you, if you want to be point number two, get out of here quickly. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm saying, the sooner you get out of here, you're going to get out of the situation of accountability of wanting to make a change in your life, such as, you know, becoming a Christian or being restored, making a wrong right, whatever it might be. But in a situation like this, separating yourself, remember, it's out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. And so that's how some people handle it. They get out of that situation. And so they don't respond to it. And that's what he said. I'm going to send away for a more convenient season. Well, what's a better time to respond? There's no better time than now. But putting it off is something that people want you to do, or Satan wants you to do, because it keeps you at a distance. We could go to Acts chapter 7, verse 54. People react to the word with anger, of course. That's where they stoned Stephen. And then in Acts chapter 5, you can find those people who are just totally indifferent. That passage in Acts chapter 5, I don't have time to read all of that. It's 33 through 39. That's where Gamaliel stands up and kind of defends the apostles. And he says, look, you guys, leave them alone. If they're from God, don't be found fighting against God. If they're against God, look at these other two guys. They rose up, people followed them, they died, and it fizzled out. Don't worry about these guys. Just one way or another, just let it go. Be totally unaffected by it. Don't get angry. Don't follow them. Just let it go. And that's the fourth category that we can be in, where we're just totally unaffected. But that's not this person that we're talking about here. This person took it to heart. He listened to the words of Jesus. He's making that application. That's why Jesus could turn around and say, you know what, that guy is not far from the kingdom. And you and I can be near. Matter of fact, we could be right there. Followers of our Lord, because we're listening to Him. Because we want to learn. Because we make personal application. Every one of us here that became Christians, I'm going to tell you something, what we have in common. Every one of us here that became Christians, what we had in common is that every one of us admitted that we've sinned against the Lord. We admitted it. Personal application to the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking it to heart, and wanting to do something about that. And I'll talk about that point number four in just a moment. But that's what we have to do. If we can't make personal application, we're going to get in trouble. Now, sometimes people make personal application and get angry, like those with Stephen. Sometimes people make application and they stay afar. And sometimes people don't even make it at all, which we talked about Gamaliel. They just want to do it. Either way, doesn't matter to me. No big deal. And I'll tell you something else that came across. This is a subtle point. This is a subtle point. And I'm going to show you how subtle it is by looking. Before we go back to Mark chapter 12, I want us to look at a couple of passages here. The one is in Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Let me just read verse 20 quickly. He says, Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now hold that thought and turn to chapter 20 of Matthew. Turn to chapter 20. Now listen to these words, beginning in verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. Then Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. All right. Now, over in Mark chapter 12, again, as we read this section, we're told in verse 28, then one of the scribes came to him. The guy that we've been talking about today, the one that Jesus said is not far from the kingdom. He's a scribe. What's that tell you? Is there something that jumps out about you that's going to help you not to be far? Yeah, you need to be clothed with humility. Because this guy can walk around like the others and say, I'm a scribe. So what? So you're a scribe. That's the Lord. You know, some people get too full of themselves. You don't know who I am. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, we're all one in Christ when we become Christians. And the gospel is for everybody, so nobody's more deserving it than anybody else. Did you get that? There's nobody in this world that's more deserving of the gospel than everybody that was in Alcatraz. It's moved, you know, a bunch of them were moved to the Marion prison. When I was in the Marion prison, I always like to brag to people. I say, well, they put the people from Alcatraz there, and that's where I went. But in truth, the people from Alcatraz were put in the big house. I was over in the camp, and I always neglected to tell them. The camp is where people just came and you could walk. They could walk out. Really, these prisoners could walk out. But I mean, they'd probably get shot. But they have that much freedom. They have that much freedom. It's not like the people in the big house, they call it, where all the real nasty, nasty people were. But there were guards around, and they had rules, but it was called a camp facility. Not like an FC camp or something, but they had that freedom. Now, I say all that to get back to my point. We're talking about the idea of the equality that's there. Who's more deserving? Who's more deserving of the gospel? Me? What makes me special? Well, Chuck, you're a preacher. Well, wait a second. I wasn't always a preacher. I wasn't always. And I wasn't always a Christian. Okay, so take me before I became a Christian. Instead of picking on you, I'll pick on me. There I am. I'm not a Christian. Okay, what makes me more deserving of the gospel than anybody else in this world? Well, some people are just really low scum. I mean, some people, they're just really, really bad. Oh, okay. Who are those people? They're sinners. Well, then what am I? You know, Paul considered himself the chief sinner. So my point is, when I look at this scribe and I'm thinking, you know, why would the Lord say to him, he's not far from the kingdom? Because I'm telling you, he's overcoming some things that is hard for other people. I'm telling you, it could be you, it could be me. You know what's going to cause a lot of people to miss heaven? Is pride. And this scribe is asking questions, and he's saying to Jesus, well said, well said. And not only that, it's been a little sacrifice. That's right. You're not far from the king. You're learning from me. You're humbling yourself and taking lessons from me. I love that. And that's what you and I need, folks. We need to be clothed with humility. We're just not going to make it. Too many people focus on themselves and not focusing on the Lord. The closer you get to the Lord, the less you see yourself. Get that? The closer you get to the Lord, the more you just see Him and what He wants you to do, what's expected of you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We've got time for a few more verses, and we're about to. I'm in my summary to let you know. All right? Before I read this, you couples out there, did you ever date? Think about that. Did you ever date? I'm looking back there at Seth. He's been dating recently. Went on a date a couple weeks ago. With his future wife. But what do you date? Why do you date? Okay, kids, these kids are going to grow up someday and they're going to date. It's about 10 years, 20 years from you guys. 20 years from you. You're going to date. Now, what are you doing when you date? You know what you're doing. Is it the more you date with the person, is the closer you're getting to them. You get to know them more. You're talking to them more. And that's the whole person. You're not getting up at the altar, and I know it happens in some other countries, but you're not getting up at the altar. They call it an altar, but they get it up in front of the preacher. When you're going to get married, okay? You're going to get married. When you're standing there, you're not going, who are you? You know, you're not strangers. You're not strangers is the point. And I'm thinking what the Lord expects out of us. We're not to be strangers, because the closer we get to our Lord, we're not strangers. You know Him. You know the Lord. That's why we're to draw near to Him. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, let's start out with this one. In verse 21, he says, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Did you get that? We draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Because you know what? We have obeyed the gospel. We've been baptized into Christ. And we have that confidence. We have that relationship with Him. We draw near. And that's why we sing those songs about drawing near to our Lord. That's what He wants from us. To have that close relationship. But you can't have it unless you're clothed with humility. And the previous points and the idea that you can make a personal application, listen to Him and learn from Him. This was the invitation that Jesus is giving over there in Matthew chapter 11. Listen, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Come near. Will you come near? This man was not far. He says he's not far from the kingdom. You could be sitting right here and far away from the Lord. I don't know where you are. I hope you're close to him. I hope you're in that the opening text there, the previous one. We can draw near. We can come boldly to the throne. We can pray because we know we are close to him. Christians. And this one is the one who says, no, I want to become a Christian, because he's saying, come near unto me. Do we want to do that, or do we want to follow from afar, or do we just want to reject him altogether? Our final passage ties it all together, James chapter 4. You've been very patient this morning, but listen to these words. James chapter 4, verse 7 beginning, guys. Listen, 7 through 10, and the lesson's yours. And I hope it's yours in the sense that you take it personally. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Don't run away from mourning. Remember, I preached that about a month ago. The benefits of mourning. Face your condition, and you'll feel better. But to say, I feel bad, I want to get out of here as quickly as I can, and I don't want to think about the fact that I'm lost, I don't want to think about the fact that I'm lost, that I have no hope of heaven, that's not your solution. That just adds misery to you. Accept the fact, lament and mourn now, have that humility, do what the Lord wants you to do, and then you have the Lord elevating you and having that joy. But humble yourselves before the Lord. Folks, this guy was not far from the kingdom. Hope that's been said of you at one time and you became a Christian. And I hope that's said of you right now and you're not a Christian, but you are thinking about it. And I would hope that you would learn the lessons from this scribe. Don't let pride get in the way. Let us be thankful. Let's draw near. Let's get closer. Let's build up that relationship that we have with our Lord and get stronger. And if you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, we let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On a crying cloud this morning, when the dead shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the
thank everyone that was able to be here this morning. It's such an encouragement to be able to gather to worship God. Is there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Father, we come to you at the close of our service this morning. We pray that we're able to give you the full attention that you deserve as we take to heart all the things that were presented to us this morning, our classes and the sermon as well. We pray that we are earnest as we seek to learn more about you and as we pursue this relationship with you, that we can be described as that scribe, as seeking your kingdom and being a fruitful part of it. We pray for those who weren't able to be with us this morning. We have members who are traveling. We ask that they can be returned to us safely. We pray for those also who are away from us with illness. We have several members in our congregation who are dealing with various ailments. We ask that they might continue to be able to work with us, Father, that their health might be restored to them, and if it is your will, they can continue in the work here. And likewise, for those over at Northwest who have lost loved ones, Leland and Judy, they pray that you can be with them in this hour and you can be a comfort to them. Father, we have a great many things in this congregation that we're working on and we're pursuing. We pray that we continue to look to you for guidance in all of those things, and we do them in the way that you want us to, that we do them for the right reasons and in the right manner, so that at the end of time we can be described as being the good and faithful servants of yours. These things we ask now in your Son's name this hour. Amen.
Amen.
Gotcha. You off today? Well, that's a good start, isn't it? That's a good start.